One of the big minuses of being a mechanech, I guess it's just a minus of being a human being, is that sometimes when you do something very important for a long time, you forget really how important it is. And when you forget how important something is, maybe you don't do it as well as you're supposed to. When speaking about Divrei Hashkafa and Divrei Musar, something that I as a mechanech do quite often, I most often forget the haunting words of a number of Mefarshim, of Yaakov Kamenetsky for example, about an interesting difference between Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos versus all other Mishnayos for the most part. And the difference is, while in regular Mishnayos it says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos cite the Chachamim in a different fashion. And they use an expression that is rarely used in other Masechtos outside of Pirkei Avos, of Hu Haya Omer, he used to say. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, based on a number of rayas, develops an idea that the reason for this difference is when Pirkei Avos is being mentioned, when the Chachamim were teaching Hashkafa and Musar, they never taught anything until they first incorporated within themselves. Hu Haya Omer means he used to say throughout his whole life, until it became a part of him. It was part of his personality. And only then he would give it over. Certainly, the words that I'm about to say, I cannot claim, hold me the way that I describe to you Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and in terms of this incorporation of Toras Chaim. I didn't know what I was going to speak about. I wanted to speak about something that was relevant. Something that we had, it's common between all of us. I opened up my journal to November 30th, 1996. 19 years ago, almost exactly to the month, as I sat in my bed in my year in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And I wanted to see what is it that I was thinking in November. There was no entry for November 10th. That would have been amazing. But it was the same month. I'd like to share with you just for a few minutes that we have some of the issues that I was struggling with. Maybe at 18, I wasn't quite articulating in the way that I'll articulate now, 19 years later. But I hope that you can find meaning in them as well. When we learn Torah, we start out with details. Rav Lichtenstein says it so beautifully. You start out with information, a pasuk, a line in the Gemara, and at some point, you gain a lot of information, many psukim, many prakim, and it becomes knowledge. And at some point, you master that knowledge, and it becomes wisdom. And that takes a long time. So when we learn Sefer Bereishis, Shnei Mikra Vechatargum, or any other way, we read a pasuk one after another, but suddenly themes begin to emerge, profound messages about the human condition, insights into human character, and we have to become sensitive and sensitized to these messages because they're profound and deep. And one of the major themes that we find in Tanakh, certainly in the parshios that we have been reading in the past few weeks and the parshios that we will encounter in the next few weeks, are the concepts of nisyonot, tests, trials, tribulations. I'd like to talk about the concept of a nisayon. What is a nisayon? Rav Hirsch writes that every human being is placed in a certain situation, is born into a certain community, a certain era, a certain home to certain parents, meets certain friends, encounters certain situations, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu carefully orchestrates that to help us become who we're supposed to become. Nisyonos, tests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to us, serve the same function. We all know about the tests of Avraham Avinu. I wish I had more time to expand, but that'll have to be done later. The 10 trials, according to most Mefarshim, the last one being the Akedah. According to at least one Mefarsh, the last one is the bearing of Sarah. The struggles of Yitzchak and Yaakov. This is a major theme that we find in Sefer Bereishis. I'd like to understand, what are the inner dynamics of a test, of a nisayon? The way I'd like to do that is by discussing a fascinating question, which is discussed and dealt with by many Rishonim and Achronim, on the pasuk that we all know. Vayehi achar dvarim ha'ela v'alokim nisa es Avraham. God wanted to test Avraham. All the Mefarshim ask, why? In general, whenever there's a test, the reason for such a test is because we don't know the outcome. You get a test in school. If the teacher would know what you would get, there would be no reason for a test. The whole purpose of a test is because there are unknowns. But if everything is known by Hashem, what is the purpose of a test? Why does God need to test Abraham? Why does He need to test Avos? And why, which is most relevant for us, why does God test us? And the Rishonim give many answers to this question. At least four basic answers, which again, not for now. Some of the answers are very controversial and have led to centuries of discussion about Ikari HaEmuna, about God's knowledge. But I'd like to share with you one answer that is mentioned by the Sforno. Says the Sforno, the purpose of a test, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to test Avraham Avinu, or any one of us, was because every human being has tremendous potential. And God knows about that potential. The test is not for Him. He knows. The purpose of a test, says the Sforno, is to challenge the person, to cause friction, to cause tension. Like a snake that has new skin that developed under its old skin, it begins to itch, becomes uncomfortable, it starts rubbing against stones to peel away the old and to allow the new skin to emerge. Says the Sforno, the purpose of the test is not for God. The purpose of the test is for us. The Maharal writes a beautiful thing, a beautiful idea, something that I've mentioned in the shir several times. Adam is called Adam because he comes from dirt. In the psukim, it sounds like God gave him that name. In the medrash, it sounds like Adam himself chose that name. The name represents the essence of something. So therefore it is puzzling that either God or man himself chose to be called dirt. I would imagine if one of you called one of your children dirt as an official name, either your wife or the government would be unhappy. I wouldn't be surprised that it's one of the names that maybe it's illegal to use. You know, there's a whole list of names you're not allowed to call your children. There are laws in America. I would imagine a good candidate for that could be dirt. Okay? If I came home and my wife asked me, so what'd you name the kid? You know, I called Dirt Lubarsky. Not happy. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose that name? So the Maharal says an amazing point. Dirt, you look at it, you put some dirt on your hand. It's annoying. It's dirty. It looks worthless. But you till it. You fertilize it. You work it. And suddenly, grass, trees, fruit begin to grow. Dirt represents incredible potential. But to bring out that potential, you have to invest and you have to work. Adds the Maharal, the name Behema, an animal, is composed of two words. Bama, whatever you see is what you get. I'm sorry to all the pet owners. I'm a pet owner myself a little bit. An animal is what it is. It'll never become great. But a human being is Adam because he has potential. But that potential has to emerge. And that potential emerges when a person is in a state of flux. When there's pressure. When there's tension. When the muscles break. When the person grows. Only in such a case, the great individual that is hidden within every single person can emerge. There's a very interesting Malbim who differentiates between the word Bechina and Nisayon. Says the Malbim, Nisayon comes from the word Nes, which means supernatural. Bechina, says the Malbim, is to test which is already there. That which is already present within all of us. Nisayon is to help bring out that which is yet not there. That is a Nisayon. In Judaism, we believe that our life is filled with tests. Big tests, little tests. Some tests allow us to move just a few steps forward. And some tests create the potential to completely transform our lives, become different people. Life is filled with tests. But there's something we have to understand about tests. I understand that some guys here hit the gym. We all know that whether we lift weights or we train in terms of cross country, which my choice sport when I was in high school, we all know that when we are running or lifting, when it feels comfortable, when it feels good, nothing is happening. If it's easy, you feel running, it's easy. Nothing is happening. You're not becoming better. If you're lifting and it's so easy, so light, you're not doing anything. Muscles have to tear to allow stronger muscles to develop. When we feel unchallenged, when we feel we're cruising and just floating, we're failing the test. A person has to accept the test. A person has to live up to the test. If a person doesn't struggle, if a person doesn't feel stretched, a person doesn't feel challenged. 19 years passed for me like that. And they will for you too. And one day, all of us are going to be on our deathbeds. And we're going to ask ourselves, what did I do in my life? What did I accomplish in terms of any value? What legacy am I leaving for my children? Besides, Dad had a nice job. That's it. Tests create an opportunity for us to become great. Well, we have to live up to them. There's a Gemara that I think you're aware of, Maseches Avodah Zarah. There was a man whose name was Elazar ben Durdayon. He was a guy. The Gemara tells us there wasn't one zona, one woman of ill repute, if you wish, who he didn't accost, who he didn't visit. There wasn't one. He found out there was a woman far away, and she had a reputation of being the best. So he packed up all his money, and he travels across seas and rivers to see how good this woman is. Says the Maharal, he's Mekayim Apostle. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meodecha. With all of his emotions. He risks his life. He takes all his money. You know why, says the Maharal? Because the word Durdaya, he is called Ben Durdaya, means, you know what, in Aramaic, it means dregs. You know when the wine, you pour it, and there's some dregs that settle on the bottom? He is an empty person. He's empty, and he feels worthless. So he has to chase every cheap pleasure in the world. So he travels across all the rivers and the seas with all of his money to spend the night with this woman. As they are engaged, this prostitute says to him the most unusual and unexpected sentence. Says, Elazar, you know, anyone can do tshuva except for you. What a bizarre statement coming from this woman. What are you, a rabbi? Certainly not a Rebbetzin. And you know what? I would imagine if it was anyone else, they would brush it off. But what does she know? What does she know? He didn't brush it off. He saw it as a test. He saw it as a message. And it bothered him and it worried him. And he goes to sleep. And as you know, in our sleep, in our dreams, we see things that we're thinking about. And in his dream, he turns to the mountains and he says, mountains, help me. I'm a nothing. I have nothing to me. And the mountains say to him in his dream, we can't help you. He turns to the sun and the moon and the stars and he says, help me, help me. And all of them say, we can't help you. He wakes up from a dream and he says to himself the words that I think every person should put on their wall. Ein hadavar talu elobi. It's up to me. The stars are not going to help me. The sun is not going to help me. It's up to me. If I want to make something of myself, I have to decide and I have to commit and I have to do it. Because no one will help me. And the Gemara finishes this story by telling us that in fact he did do tshuva. And as he was passing from this world, there was a basco that came out. A voice from heaven came out and said, Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya, Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya. This guy was running from one prostitute to another. Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya is welcome to Olam Haba. You know why he's called Rabbi? Because he became our teacher. You know what he taught us? That if we sit back and do nothing, we'll have nothing. Ein hadavar tolu elabi. When Rabbi Huda Hanasi used to tell this story, he would cry. And the Gemara tells us why he cried. He cried because, while all other people, it took them a lifetime to go to Olam Haba, Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya was able to do it in one split second. And Rav Noach Weinberg's father asked, why is he crying? Is he jealous? He begrudges him. No. Rebbe's not crying for Elazar ben Durdaya. He's crying for people in this room, including Avram Lubarsky over here. Do you know why he's crying? Because Elazar ben Durdaya told us and taught us the power of one moment, the power of one decision, transferred this nobody into Rebbe Elazar ben Durdaya. And we in this room are missing that point. Because if we weren't missing that point, can you imagine if we had many moments like that? Do you know what we would look like? We'd be incredible. Rabosai, this is your year. This is our year. The Rebbeim in this yeshiva will spit blood to give you all the opportunities to make you the best person you can be. The greatest person. Whether in learning, whether in midos, whether in figuring out what you want to do with your life. We will spit blood. We'll do anything. We'll spend any hour that's necessary. I know the Rebbeim in this yeshiva. We could have been doing anything else with our lives and been pretty successful. And we chose this because we believe in this. And we believe in you. This is a year where you can take away all the distractions and become great. And become a somebody. In your own way. Not a carbon copy of anyone. But to be great. And you have many moments. And the power of the moment is incredible. But you can't take a chair and sit back and say, the stars will do it. And the sun will do it. Someone will inspire me. Someone will do it for me. It'll never happen. You have to decide, Rabosai. This year is an opportunity, but it's a test. The question is, are you going to step up? Are you going to live up? Are you going to say, Ein hadavar tolo elo bi? And become the greatest person that you can be. Thank you.
One, two, three.